o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch
begins now. Jesse, what's the reaction been to our debates on the Carbless Talk and Text line?
Been a while since we've had a good discussion of that nature on this show, so people are kind of fired up about it. Matt on the road, like most of your arguments, this comes down to semantics. Apply a number 1 through 5 to free agent signings. 5 is swinging for the fences. 1 is a safe depth move, probably a veteran minimum kind of guy. So does that help you understand then, Tausch, what people would say swinging for the fences
is?
Yeah,
so it does, but this is where I have the disconnect. I am not trying to, and I know you guys tried to Tausch me there and put words in my mouth. Oh, you're thinking Jared Valdera is Damian Lillard? No, I never said that. What I was trying to say was, Jason was arguing, well, you never bring any depth, any veterans in, and the team's too. You can make an argument this team's too young. It's a fair argument. I'm not going to get mad about that. But this, well, you signed this guy because your draft pick sucked. Well, you could also not sign a guy, and you could sit there and draft and hope. When you make a big boy signing and pay guys top dollar in the offseason, that to me is a big boy signing, a 1, if you will. Or I guess, put that back up, Jesse. Is it a 5 if it's a max?
Like, yeah, 5 would be like Josh Banks. Jacobs. 5 would be Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney. To just say, well, that doesn't count. Why doesn't it count?
I didn't say it didn't
count.
Those
are big, bold moves.
It's not the same thing. All right, tell me all. All right, now you've got those two. Give me all the rest of the big boy 5 signings they've had since 2018. Go through all of them for me, please.
Preston. Billy Turner. Billy Turner was a bit. They paid Billy Turner.
On a scale of 1 to 5. On a scale of 1 to 5, you are putting Preston Smith and Billy Turner in the same category as Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. That's what you're doing.
I am putting,
is that clear?
I'm putting Zadarius and Preston in the same category as Jacobs, Xavier McKinney. Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, Zadarius. I don't remember how much they paid Preston. It was substantial. And then I put him as a 4. I put Billy Turner as a 3 along with Amos as a 3. And then you got your – so I got 4 5s, a 4, and a couple 3s.
But I'd also
do the math on that. I don't know what numbers you need to equate out to make a fence swinging. Obviously, Dame is a big boy 5.
Right.
Like, I'm not like, of course.
If you go to the other sports, like Yelich is a 5, Dame is a 5, Zach Greinke and CC Sabathia were 5s. When they add Trevor McGill in the offseason, yeah, he's turned into being a great guy, but at the time, the signing is a 2 or a 3. In the ranking system here that Matt provided us?
Well, like, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, the only way you can make a big swing is by trading. That's what I'm learning by listening to our conversation. The only way you could do it is by making a big trade to get a big name. Because Jesse just said McGill's an all-star, for Pete's sake. And you're telling me, well, that wasn't a fence swinger at the time. Well, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it wasn't. But it's turned out to be a great pickup. So is the only way you can swing for the fences if you give up, you go get the dude that the Bears got and give up that second-round pick. How'd that work out? Now, San Francisco, Jason, you can make an argument. They swing for the fences like the Bucks do. That, I think, is fair. And you know what? They've fallen short, but would their fans tell you it was worth it? Picking up McCaffrey is 100% worth it. The Packers did that without having to trade. That, to me, is smart. So I get it, and you can – I am not trying to equate the Bucks swinging for the fences with the Packers. I said Bucks here, Brewers here, Packers here. And there's different ways of doing it. The Bucks have had a championship more recently, but whose success train – do you think has been better over the last 20 or 30 years? It would be the Green Bay Packers.
The debate is not whether or not it's smart to swing for the fences. The debate is whether they do it. And if you think you have a championship team and you go out and trade for Trey Hendrickson,
and you're mortgaging some of your future so you can win now because you think you're close, that to me is swinging for the fences. Do I think swinging for the fences is smart? We're using the damn Bucks example, which we just finished describing as perhaps the worst trade in Wisconsin sports history, as the example of swinging for the fences. I never once said that swinging for the fences is what you should do. The text was that the Bucks swing for the fences more than the Packers do. And that is exactly true.
100%
and if we want
agree.
To get into a semantic debate about whether Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney are swinging for the fences, my point is not comparing Jared Veld here to Damian Lillard. The point is that I don't think when they signed those two players that was swinging for the fences because they thought they were a Super Bowl team. I think Goody knew they caught lightning in a bottle at the end of 23, and he knew they weren't quite good enough yet, and they needed to add more pieces. Young, up-and-coming guys that are studs, and he got them both right. Again, to his face, I called them Grand Slam signings. He stopped his answer to say thank you during the press conference. No one is debating that they were great signings. But there's no way, if they were that close to a Super Bowl when they signed those two, then where the hell did they go last year? And I understand some people on the panel said the winner of Packers, Eagles would win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl. And that was true. The Eagles did. Bottom line, the Packers don't swing for the fences often. They don't believe in it. They don't want to do it. This is not a value judgment on whether it's a good way to do business. I think the way Goody does it is better. They also don't have the clock ticking on an all-time great player that they are trying to win for and try and keep from leaving them. Because he didn't give a damn about Aaron Rodgers. That's one of the reasons why he drafted Jordan Love. If they were worried about Rodgers abandoning them the way Bucks fans are about Giannis, there's no way in hell they'd draft Jordan Love. But they weren't worried about that. They weren't worried about upsetting him at all. They don't have to swing for the fences. They can do it their way. But so far, during the Brian Gutekunst era, what they have done has not been enough to win a title. Could it happen this year? Yes, and he will be justified in his approach. I believe they don't need to swing for the fences more. I believe they need to add better veteran players so they have a better mix of different age groups of players on their team. Guys that have done it somewhere else and can bring that knowledge into their locker room. They have a homogeneous group, largely. They had two guys emerge as their leaders last year that weren't even on the team before. That doesn't happen very often. So this is the way Goody believes in. No one on this panel, anyway, is suggesting that swinging for the fences all the time is a better way to go. But if you're going to try and argue that Goody swings for the fences a lot, I'm sorry, I don't think that's based in reality.
Yeah, I have never said, I have not one time said that the what the Bucks have done is anywhere close to what Goody has done. My point has been that Brian Gutekunst has put his teams in positions to win, and this whole concept of you have to go make a big boy trade at the trade deadline to do it because the Rams did it and because fans want it. The Green Bay Packers have had at least two and maybe more that teams that were good enough and strong and deep enough that to win a championship, they didn't get it done. And we always look at it, well, that's because we didn't do this. We didn't do that. It's easy from the cheap seats, Billy, but that doesn't mean it's right. And that 21, that COVID year, that team should have won a Super Bowl. Period, fin. They didn't. And I just think to sit here and say if Goody had went and swung for the fences and traded for X, I don't even know. You don't even have a name. I just think that's very disingenuous to make that accusation because the team was good enough to win it. So do the Green Bay Packers need to be more aggressive picking up veteran players? No, I don't believe so. Do I think that you're saying this team is, would you say, homogeneous, which I think means it's all in the same grouping? I think that's a fair critique. because you have a lot of guys fighting for the same thing, and is there the tierdom to have everybody have a role that they can fit, especially at the wide receiver spot? I think that is a fair critique.
We will see if they win a Super Bowl in 2025. We also, as we have discussed on this program previously, are waiting to see if the general manager and the head coach have the kind of season that gets them extensions. Because the incoming president has said that he doesn't want lame ducks, and he's not giving them extensions going into the season. If we were so sure that this worked, would he not extend them? If we were so sure that they were a Super Bowl team, would he not extend them? Other guys have gotten it. That Ryan Poles just got an extension. The hell has Ryan Poles done? I think the new president is not so sure that this is the way to go either. Otherwise, what's the holdup? You tell me.
Very interesting. I think he's probably just trying to get his feet wet and kind of see the lay of the land and understand where this group is going.
We'll see. We will definitely see. We will also see if we have a trivia winner today. We'll definitely be drawing the trivia winner coming up. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
Wasn't sure where today's show was going to go, obviously. Had the Packers countdown slated on
I'm
here.
I'm assuming there's fence but, swinging.
Well, kind of.
Is there something about fences?
A team that has been very good at swinging for the fences, both figuratively and literally, and the opponent the Brewers are facing in a big three-game set this weekend, the Los Angeles Dodgers, today's trivia category. It's actually fairly appropriate given the conversation, come to think of it.
One of my favorite Dodgers, Oral Hershiser, wore number 55, I believe.
What a stud.
We'll add those two together and call 10.
Do you remember, Jason, when he never, what was it, he didn't give up a run for... He had a run there in 88 when they won the World Championship that it was like no pitcher had ever done. And I don't remember what it was. Was it he didn't give up any runs or what was his
shutout innings? And then he also pitched on like one day's rest or 2 days rest to win critical games in the World Series. Caller 10 right now.
Yo, Bulldog.
844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 10 right now. Plays trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Back in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, the YouTube comments very active currently. Joseph, can't wait for real news from training camp. The show is tough. Listen, when Jason goes on his whiny, sanctimonious speculation soapbox. Excellent work with the alliteration, Joseph.
The WSSS.
Sanctimonious soap box?
I don't mean to be a jerk. But I don't think you know what sanctimonious means. And that was sanctimonious. Let's play trivia.
Dang.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Well, let's get a clue here. I don't want them to swing for the fences. I'm not saying they should. I'm explaining what it is. And what that first text was about. I am not saying that's the best way to go, so please listen
before you type.
This is all Stephen Greenfield's
fault.
I'm going to say this.
Way to go, Dave.
Steve?
I'll say this. Who? It's Dave and
Stephen
Greenfield.
Steve.
Steve. With that TJ Watt news that we haven't quite gotten to yet, that big contract extension, after yesterday I said I would not pay him that, and I still wouldn't, just FYI for the record. Trey Hendrickson is going to be available. Cincinnati ain't going anywhere near that. You can best believe that. So maybe this big fence swing and everybody's talking about, maybe Goody will and give up a pick and pay. I can't imagine it happening because, as you've said throughout this conversation, it's not the Packer way. It's not what they do. They don't trade. They don't give up assets and pay. They'll do one or the other. They're not going to do both. And to get Trey Hendrickson, you got to do both, and that doesn't fit the Gutenator's mold.
It does not. Jesse, welcome in our
Brian in Williams Bay, welcome to the mix.
Good morning. Hope everyone's well.
We're doing great. Got to be a beautiful day down there in the Bay, Brian, huh?
It is wonderful.
Oh, man. Looks like it. Did we lose Jason, Jesse? It feels like maybe on the video screen.
Something's up here. Jason, are you there? It appears we have lost him, so we will reestablish.
Maybe he's going to go out backyard, swing for the fences, and I'll take over on trivia.
You got all three, old T.
You could take question two, Jesse. It's too much on my voice.
My
I got
pleasure.
A bunch of coaching to do this weekend.
Sure.
Sitting in the front row behind the plate at most home games, Dodgers superfan Mary Hart is the longtime former host of which syndicated TV show? Is it Entertainment Tonight, Cash Cab, or Total Packers with Matt LaFleur?
Entertainment Tonight.
You got it.
Hope you enjoyed that one.
That was pretty good. Not bad at all. Not bad. I would love to jump in a cab and be in the cash. Like, a lot of times I don't have any interest.
Yeah.
Cash cab would be, that might be one of, I would probably travel somewhere just to be part of the cash cab deal.
I remember listening to a Brewers game when they were playing the Yankees in New York, and Uecker told a story about how expensive the tickets, I think it was when the new stadium had just opened, and he said how expensive the tickets are behind home plate. You could leave the hotel, hop in the cash cab, win yourself $12,000, and you'd still have to pay a little bit more when you got here to the window, which I thought was hilarious. Question number two, Brian in Williams Bay. Dodger Stadium is located in a shallow canyon in Los Angeles, known by which of these names? Surprise! It's Wisconsin geography, California geography Friday. Dodger Stadium's in a shallow canyon in Los Angeles, known by which of these names? San Gabriel Pass, Chavez Ravine, or Mission Bay?
Chavez Ravine.
Might have been too easy.
What a great question, though. Yeah, you got bullied from yesterday's very difficult questions. You, Chavez Ravine, great name for a shallow canyon. All right, last one. After defeating the Brewers, this was a bad game.
Yeah, this was tough.
Game 7 of that 2018 NLCS. Which team did the Dodgers lose to in the World Series of that year? Is it Houston, Tampa, or Boston?
Houston.
Jesse?
So the Dodgers lost the World Series back-to-back seasons. In 2017, they fell to the Houston Astros with the trash cans.
Trash can.
And whatever else, yeah. In 2018, they lost to the Boston Red Sox.
Huh. Frustrated. Yep.
Tough for Brian in Williams Bay. We did get two of the possible three entries. And
yeah, Brian's fine.
We're going to do something special right now since we're waiting to reestablish with Jason. You know, this is good practice for us for next week when training camp starts. And Jason's going to be on the move for a couple of segments getting situated at training camp. This is good practice for us. A little warm-up preseason for training camp. We are going to draw our trivia winner for our Vortex swag bag right now. So in go all Brian right. and Greenfield's three entries into the Cheese Fry helmet. Five contestants to choose from for the week. Let's see if Brian is selected while he's live on the air. I have selected number one, Aaron in DeForest. It's a second reference on this show. Coach Mack from Monday is our Wilde and Tausch trivia winner. Sorry, Brian.
It's okay. Congratulations. Bye.
Oh, that was very gracious.
There you go.
Brian in Greenfield. Oh, and Jason's back. Hey, Jason.
I think our internet went out briefly. Must be that I finally had an opinion.
Things getting a little too hot up there.
The old smoke was coming out that computer. You had to shut it out.
If you have an issue with my actual opinion, fine. If you're going to say that I would have mortgaged the future year after year, because I believe in swinging for the fences, then you're not listening. So do whatever you want, say whatever you want, but then I'm going to come back at you.
So, Jason, I don't want to put words in your mouth because I know you're I just don't want to today. Normally I do. Today I don't want to at this point.
Yes, and I enjoy it when you do. So, yes, thank you.
Would you say that the 2020 through 2023 Aaron Rodgers end of an era – the Green Bay Packers didn't swing enough, not even for the fences. They didn't even swing enough for doubles throughout that period. Would you say that is true, yes or no?
Yes, I would agree. Okay. I would say that. Do you disagree?
I do. I think there was plenty there to get it done. I do.
But ultimately...
But they didn't.
There wasn't.
But they didn't. They didn't get it done. So I'm not going to sit here and be all sanctimonious and tell you, I'm today's, not going to sanctimize
the word,
this
the word,
thing.
The word of the day is sanctimonious.
I just don't know what else you wanted. The injury to Deebock obviously sucked. I don't know what else you wanted Goody to do than what you saw in 2020. I don't know what else you wanted the organization to do. And then the next year, they go pick up some older players. And it still didn't work. 2023 is fair game for criticism. That part I completely agree with.
I don't agree with Aaron Rodgers on a number of topics. But this was his issue at that time, right? This is what he was talking about, was going out and adding pieces and his frustration with that. Like that's, again, they got to 2022 and their number one wide receiver was Alan Lazard.
That right? was a misstep.
They didn't swing for the fences to pay Davante Adams to keep him here, right?
That was a mistake.
Like, yeah. No one is saying, like, this is what bothers me about sports commentary. This isn't Goody sucks, he should be fired. That is not what I'm saying. They are not abject failures. We have a team that we talk about every single day that is in the mix every single year. And as you say, from Chile, they always have a chance to have a chance. But again, if your complaint, Steve in Greenfield, is that thanks, you would like Steve. To see the Packers swing for the fences the way the Bucks do, then what I would say before we became so combative, is be ready to swing and miss, because the debate we're having is about something we called at the beginning of the show one of the worst, if not the worst, trades in Wisconsin sports history. So guess what? When you swing for the fences, if you don't hit the ball out of the ballpark, there's a good chance that you whiff instead and you go down swinging and you twist yourself into a corkscrew and you're laying in the dirt after striking out on the final out of the ninth inning and you lose.
The Miz corkscrewed you.
Right. Yeah. So the idea that because I'm debating whether or not they swung for the fences means that I think that's a smart, intelligent way to go about trying to win titles. I'm not saying that. At no point did I say this is what they should be doing. But if you are someone who wants them to swing for the fences, you have not seen them do it frequently enough. That's
but
all my
opinions. You are saying they didn't do enough fence swinging in the last era of Aaron Rodgers' career. You are saying that, and I disagree with you. Correct?
Yeah, I think that if
I don't know what the piece is. Like, I would love to sit here and go, if the 2025 Packers trade for Trey Hendrickson, they're going to be in the Super Bowl. I don't know in 2021 who that player would have been. I don't know who it was. But is there potentially a player that they could have added to their group that would have been the difference in a game where they couldn't score an offensive touchdown? Had they added that one player who does in that game what Jimmy Graham did in the Seattle playoff game a few years earlier, do they advance? Because all you had to do is win that game and you're in the NFC Championship game, remember? It's all they had to do. And if I recall correctly, there was a criticism after that game that Rodgers chucked it downfield to Devontae when he had Alan Lazard open underneath. If he has a different player that he sees and thinks is better, he doesn't feel the need to throw it to Devontae there, maybe. I don't know. Again, it's the world of hypotheticals. What is not hypothetical is your love of Coors Light.
No, indeed. And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big dub after the game, just grab a Coors Light and take a moment to chill. Coors Light brewed with the three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
How's it go, baby? Go, go, go!
Are the Pittsburgh Steelers swinging for the fences?
Whoa, Nelly!
They just paid TJ Watt. 3-year extension for TJ Watt. And I think I saw JJ post a graphic that had his career earnings at $129 million. These are champagne problems, by the way. His career earnings at $129 million and his brother getting $123 million in this deal alone, which, again, after taxes, it's more like $65 million.
That's half, yep.
$108 guaranteed.
It's a lot.
That's pretty good.
I saw an ESPN that said highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Yep.
TJ Watt.
Is this smart or stupid by the Steelers?
I understand why they're doing it, but you have someone that has been a great pro for you. He's still an incredibly productive player. So I think for them it was a move they needed to make. If they didn't do that this year with Aaron Rodgers coming in and with DK Metcalf and some of the other things they've done, this was a we need this year. Will they look back and say that this was a wise move for this last 2 years of the deal? No, they won't. But this is one of those scenarios where I think TJ Watt has proven over and over how valuable he is to their team. But he's getting older. I don't think the Packers would have made this move at this point in TJ's career. And so that's the difference. And we'll see. You know, we'll see if it's the right move or if it's not.
So TJ Watt will turn 31 on October 11th. Mm-hmm. So he will then turn 32 next year. That's how birthdays work.
You know what? I just want to thank you for explaining, because I would not have. I do struggle with that. So
don't
actually,
act like you haven't.
I was trying to be a
before.
Jack wagon, and I actually thank you for explaining it to me because I needed it.
30 going on 31.
Yeah. So he.
Isn't it Jennifer Garner in a movie like that?
13 going on 30.
Where is he in the loss column?
TJ Watt has had six double-digit sack seasons in his career. Now, in 2022, he did miss seven games. He finished with only 5.5 sacks. The following year, he came back and had 19 sacks.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He has been a defensive player of the year. In that balloting, he won the award in 2021 when he had 22.5 sacks. He's also finished second twice, third once, and fourth once. He is a five-time All-Pro. My question for you, Tausch, because I do think that the Goody approach can't help but have influenced how we view ageism in the NFL. At what point are guys, for most teams, not for the Green Bay Packers, but most teams, too old? Like, I think we can agree that Von Miller, as we discussed yesterday, too old, right?
Yes.
Yep. Von Miller is 36. He turned 36 in March, so he'll be 37 next March. That's too old. But T.J. Watt, who is 30, he hasn't even had his 31st birthday. Trey Hendrickson, who I believe is 30, has not turned 31 yet. Like, we discuss a team where 30 might as well be 60. Mm. In the real world of other NFL teams, how old is too old?
So it all depends on the position, because that quarterback, Jordan Love, 31, they will extend. If he's playing at the level that, even if he's playing now, the Packers will extend him and they'll pay him. They look at, especially in, you know, if it's O-line, if it's D-line, if it's, you know, maybe even corner. Wide receiver, I think they learned a lesson that Devontae, I mean, they literally had the same scenario about where T.J. Watt, Devontae Adams was, how old was he when he left for the Raiders? 29?
So Devontae Adams' final season, he was the 2021 season, correct? During which, they're having the debate in the YouTube comments right now about whether Devontae Adams wanted out or not. He may have wanted out by the time he got to 2020, after the 2021 season, but I can promise you he wanted.
Your sourcing is good on this.
Bafo extension in 2021 before the season started. And when they said no, then he said a deuce is B. Okay, so the timing matters. It was not like he was always looking to get out of Green Bay, but they pissed him off. Now, in 2021, when Devontae Adams caught 123 passes for 1,553 yards and 11 touchdowns, down from the 18 touchdowns he'd had the previous year to lead the league. By the way, he also led the NFL in touchdown receptions in 2022 with the Raiders. Devontae Adams was 29 years old in the season that was his last season.
Very similar.
Turned 29 at the end of that season, I should say.
So it's similar enough that you can make this comparison, and it shows you the difference in kind of the approach that they take. Brian Gutekunst, if you sat down and had a Coors Light with him, he would tell you he screwed up, they should have signed Devontae. Because there was one outlier contract. They were going to pay Devontae the money that they thought. I think it was at that point, and this just shows you how fast things have went. I want to say it was like 25.5 they were going to pay him. DeAndre Hopkins was getting 27. That's what Devontae wanted. And they wouldn't go there for whatever reason. And looking back, they should have. Who knows what happens? I feel fairly confident they would have made the playoffs the year that they lost to Detroit at the end of that season, and then that sparks Detroit's renaissance and Green Bay's somewhat decline. That's a conversation for another day. You have your guys that you know are Hall of Fame players, and I remember Goody said that. D-Bach, he doesn't want to pay 30-year-olds. And by the way, he's right most of the time, and so was Ted, so was Mike Sherman. Like, you pay 30-year-olds, you're going to get a lot of disappointment. Injuries, etc. at certain spots. Devontae should have been TJ Watted. this deal that you're right up on the screen here, 3 years, 123, it would have been 3 years, 80-something. And it would have been worth every penny. You have to be willing to pay the guys that you know are your guys. The thing that these front offices worry about is you get paid, you get fat and happy, and you're not productive. Pittsburgh don't have to worry about that with TJ. Now they have to worry about injuries. Green Bay certainly didn't have to worry about that with Davante Adams. And this, those two, that's your comp. Green Bay does it their way. Pittsburgh's doing it this way. And just for the record, Green Bay has a championship sooner or in the its most recent history, more so than what the Pittsburgh Steelers do.
Right. It's very possible that neither approach will work. And neither one will end up with a title as a result. But I will say this. I like Goody's chances better than I like the Steelers' chances.
I do too, by a lot. And Goody, for whatever, however you want to, you know, say he doesn't swing for the fences and what's a fence swing, and I think it's a good debate. I do. He is willing to pay top dollar for guys that are in their prime, their elevator years, as I put it, where the mental and the physical line up and you can actually enjoy the ride. When you start getting it the other way, and that's where the Banksy, we'll see where Banksy's at. They paid him top dollar. Now
they did.
1-2 year deal, whatever it ends up being, but the Packers give themselves outs. And every good card player, and Ron in the key knows this as a World Series of Poker or whatever position he ended up, you never want to go into the turn or the river where you're done. And a lot of times, Dame Lillard, you were at the turn and you were dead. Your chips, the hand was already over and you didn't even need to see the fifth card. That is a position that Goody and Russ want to avoid, and by the way, wisely continue to try and avoid that.
If you hadn't gone into the elevator while I was standing outside the building yesterday, we could have talked about elevator years, or maybe we could have talked about our mutual love of Quick Trip.
Well, this summer, are you ready to climb to the top? You can gear up for Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Every sip gets you closer to the summit. You have through August 17th to play for free right now in that app. Yeah, it's all kinds of fun stuff. You got $5,000, the cash prize climbs, and it goes all the way up to that top prize of $250,000. So get climbing now in the Quick Rewards app, and they also have deals all over the place. Quickery white bread, 99 cents per loaf. Nature's Touch ice cream, oh, and it's going to be hot. Buy one pint for $3.99, and you know what? Beep! You get another one for free. And the Kitchen Cravings bacon-wrapped pork loins, 4 for $5. Perfect to throw on a grill on a beautiful Sunday night. Life's busy. Quick Trip gets it. It is your one-stop shop for variety, quality, and fast service. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
More Will D. and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And a ground ball through the left side, and Jackson Churio has walked off the Dodgers. It is brooms for the Brewers.
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see the time. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back.
I am very intrigued to see what TJ Watt, what Trey Hendrickson, all these players that are quasi-available. I still don't believe the Steelers were ever trading TJ Watt, so I don't think he was available. But I'm very curious to see what they do, because I, again, my own opinion, not that Goody's approach is wrong, but my opinion is you need a few of those guys on your team. You don't need a bunch of guys that I would be holding on to until they were in the old NFL players' home. Like Jordy Nelson still being on the roster, Charles Woodson still starting at safety. But I have a hard time believing
that in the NFL, guys that are 30 are not worth having on your team. I just, I don't agree with that. Guys that are 36, 37, 38, totally get it. That at some point you have to say, all right, this guy, the wheels are going to come off. This guy's going to have more injury problems, whatever it's going to be. You can't keep guys forever, but we'll see. Maybe T.J. Watt has 6 sacks this season, and they're regretting spending that money on him. But, hey, at least they're swinging for the fences this year. You know, when I get frustrated with the folks in the YouTube comments, or I get frustrated with old boy, you know what I do? I just grab Bucky.
Because
I love that face. Yeah. This was my Bucky when I was 4 years old, actually.
You know, that right? What happened to the other side of the whiskers?
Yeah, well, when I was 4 years old, it was 1976, so.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very vintage. I think he's actually in pretty good shape.
You could just close YouTube also.
Those are options. I like that he does it. I like that. I wish I could see those YouTube comments. I wish I could jump in there.
If only you were
subscribed. For every stage of life. UW Credit Union is here forever. You from 1976 all the way till now, proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. You know what? You want to keep your banking local? Do you love great member first service and you like great perks like early payday? Well, UW Credit Union has all that covered. And they have Bucky. And how do you say no to that pretty face? If you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom makes us do crazy things, but this just makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.